from Oklahoma City with the Mavericks, now up 3-1 in the West Finals. Game 5 tomorrow night back in the Metroplex. We went to the game last night covering the Western Conference Finals so the P1s don't have to. That's what the Musers are all about. And we had some interesting run-ins with interesting folks before the game even started.
We did. You know, Dirk gave me such a warm and Germanic greeting. It was so Teutonic and pleasant. And then we see Cuban. Now, I have a long history with Mark. I helped him out on his show. You know, what else? I've known the guy for a long time.
I think that was the big thing. You worked on the Mark Cuban show, so you have kind of always enjoyed, at least from your perspective, an upper hand over me and Junior, because you think that, well, I worked on a show and he loves me more. And
I don't know about that. I've just always been friendly to him. He was very nice when we worked together on that show. Mm-hmm. And so I've always kind of liked him for that reason. And he's always been nice to me. Mm-hmm. Heck, he offered me $125,000 to change my name one time.
To Dallas Maverick.
To Dallas Maverick.
Should have done it.
So here we are before the game, and I'm thinking, okay, I might as well ask. I know that Cuban doesn't seem to be talking to too many people right now, but I might as well ask if we'll talk to him. So he comes over to me, and Giorgio was standing next to me. And I ask him, and he basically denies me. Okay, kind of expected that, but he acted a little bit cold to me. Okay, kind of expected that because he's in the zone, right? Mm-hmm. His team's in the playoffs, this deep.
30 minutes before game time.
So 30 minutes before game time. He's in the zone.
Does it hurt?
But then, after he denies me, he looks over and sees Giorgio. And he lights up like a Christmas tree. And is, oh,
really,
it was
to
unbelievable to see his old college roommate Giorgio there. That's just wonderful.
And he gave me the high five, bring it in and hug it up.
Yes. What I've just done with Dirk, I just did the man hug with Dirk, and then all of a sudden he's doing it with Cuban.
He shugged with Cuban?
Yes, he shugged with Cuban.
Yeah.
And Giorgio is the man who has wronged Cuban more than any other media type in this market has wronged Cuban.
What?
Your fake
You're
Mark Cuban is the
him.
Most derogatory thing I've ever heard. I tend to lay out during those.
I tend to not make those as damaging as they can be as we go through writing on that.
That's behind the scenes stuff. Let's calm it down. Okay, so I checked my recorder this morning, and I found out that I happen to be rolling on Mark Cuban denying us an interview. So,
do you also have that I'm glad to see Jubb?
Well, yes, that's why I wanted to play it, just where you can hear how happy he is to see the Jubinator. So I need a ruling from Junior. What are the ethics on this? I happen to be rolling tape at a time when he's saying he doesn't want to do an interview.
Right.
So we didn't do an interview.
Right.
I mean, he didn't say anything bad or come off poorly in
any
of this.
I think you can play it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so here is Mark Cuban denying me an interview, fine, but offensively enjoying Jubinator's presence.
Do you have a moment?
Nope.
Oh, hello, look who's here.
How are you doing?
I'm not doing any interviews.
None whatsoever?
Okay, just that part right there. Listen to that alone.
Hey, look who's here. Oh, God. Yay, Giorgio.
Such a quick 180.
I know it. And then he comes back to, no, he's not doing interviews. All right, let's take a listen.
Do you have a moment?
Nope.
Oh, hello, look who's here.
How are you doing?
I'm not doing any interviews.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever.
It's working. Could you just give us just a no comment?
No. Did you guys are like remix it? And,
we wouldn't do that.
No, not my.
It's George. George is the one.
Okay, so here I'm already trying to throw George under the bus, right, trying to say, but he's the one who does all the bad stuff.
You're such a jerk. Why couldn't you just let us enjoy our moment together?
Well, you could shug.
Mark knows I'm
there's your other half.
Huh?
There's your other half.
Right there, trying to talk up Sarah.
Damn.
Trying to string something together tonight.
Hey, I'm trying to see if I'm the only media guy in shorts here tonight. So far, I am.
You know about that?
Have you?
I almost wore what Sarah's wearing.
She had a dress on. Something else.
And then that's when he's turned around and just started. We were right in the middle of all this, hey, you know, having fun and making jokes about what everybody's wearing. And then he turned and started talking to someone else. And Jordy goes, something else. So we're shut down. But we actually ran into him after the game. And he was very happy then and would talk to us at length then. So then I saw Brendan Haywood. You know who this guy is? I guess
yes.
He's a Dallas Maverick.
Yes, we know who he is.
So I ask him about this particular woman.
Brendan, quick question for the ticket. Your opinion of Doris Burke? Huh? Your opinion of Doris Burke?
Too fine to me.
Okay. Who do you think's the hottest woman in entertainment these days?
I have no idea, bro.
I guess Doris, right?
One more autograph.
Yeah, I'll put her up there.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So that was our big assignment. We wanted to get out there on the court before the game and find Doris Burke. Here's Dirk Nowitzki. Here's Mark Cuban. Here's But we wanted to find Doris Burke. That was our focus because Giorgio has tight pants for her.
Quick clarification. I just one night tweeted, hey, she looks okay in the glasses.
Did you say okay? She looks okay?
I didn't say good or bad. I just said, hey, you keep wearing those glasses, girl, or something like that. So the next day, Ducey and I talked about it, the day you're out. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I think she's decent looking. I didn't say she's the greatest looking woman in the world or anything like that. I thought she was, you know, attractive. So, and you know what? I'm so sorry I ever said anything because if
yay,
someone...
Congrats.
No, because if anyone wants to jump on me and say I'm wrong, great. I'm used to that. I've been going through that for 17 years. But the attacks on her for the last 2 weeks have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just say, hey, Giorgio, disagree. Fine. Okay, great. But some of the things that have been said about her are just...
Cruel.
They go beyond cruel.
Yeah.
It's just, you know... And if you're trying to make me look bad... Just say you're wrong, but don't, you know, attack her personally. Number one, she's a really good reporter. She does a really good job, and we found out she's a very sweet person, too.
George, it's called the way it is.
I know. It's the world, and that's we all you, get
people, attacking people. You're crappy, and we're all crappy together.
And yeah. By liking her physically, you introduced her as a piece of meat to the masses.
I know, and I'm so sorry I ever did it.
So we actually got a hold of Doris Burke. I was like, I was looking around, where's Doris Burke? Where is he? And George says, well, that's her over there. And I said, that guy that's cross-dressing?
Come on. And don't you join in on it. What are you doing?
Just trying to draw you outside.
Yeah, people are cruel.
All right, so we found the Lilf herself.
Don't say that.
What does that stand for?
And we go up and we start talking to her. And in the 5 minutes that we talked to her, I think George insulted her about four times. Unintentionally, but you...
I was trying to defuse myself as a stalker.
But as you were defusing yourself as a stalker, you're basically saying, look, everybody thinks I'm a stalker of you, but I mean, I swear I don't think you're that great.
I didn't say that. Roll it.
Okay,
prove it.
Exclusive interview with Doris Burke right now.
Can I talk to you real quick for Dallas Radio?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm George Dunham. This is George Dunham.
Nice
to meet you.
Nice
I'm one of your biggest fans.
Oh, thank you so much.
He's a huge fan of yours, and he's always wanted to interview you. So
even after I cussed last night, did you hear about that whole mess?
Yeah, we didn't hear the actual cuss word, though.
I shouldn't say what I'm going to say. Are you taping me now?
It was the F word, wasn't it?
No, it was Italian.
Italian?
Oh, really?
It's the Italian F word.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the Italian F word?
No, you're trying to get me to say something I can't say.
No, I think you could probably say it on our airwaves. You could probably get away with it.
No, I'm not doing
it. No, don't do it.
My mother will get mad at me.
Could you spell it?
I don't even know that I could spell it. Come on, fellas, you know the word.
Was it race trouble in Italy when you said it? Do you know?
Or? I have no idea.
Well, I'm a big fan. I think you're a great broadcaster. In this man's world, I think you really stand out as a quality broadcaster. I just want to tell you I enjoy your work.
I appreciate that. I've been really very, very lucky, honest to gosh. I sort of entered the business at a time when coverage of women's basketball was just starting.
Holly Hunter. Listen to that Holly Hunter voice she has. Now,
Holly Hunter's been a very successful actress.
She has. And I don't know how Holly Hunter has gotten so far with Doris Burke's voice.
There, fell into a men's college basketball game, did an okay job, and it just kept spiraling for me. So, place, right time.
Is it because you played the game, you think you have such a good understanding of it and can talk about it?
I think it helps. You know, since I was seven, I've been playing, coaching, or watching the game, and it's always been my passion. It's sort of shaped my life since I was seven, so... You know, I mean, I no disrespect to the game, but it's not rocket science or brain surgery. If I don't know it, as long as I sit with a coach and study some video, I can figure it out.
Do you know anything about rocket science or brain surgery?
Not a darn thing. That's why I wasn't upset at the mistake I made last night. And I told the young man in Bristol who, you know, sort of hit the wrong button and sent the wrong, you know, clip down. I just wrote him a note and I said, listen, if you're in this business long enough, All of us make those mistakes. Please don't hang your head. Don't worry about it. Move on. Pick yourself up and move on, because we're going to make mistakes. And I, at the end of the day, I didn't leave a surgical tool in somebody's body, right? I messed up a couple
times. See, I've done that before.
Oh, you have?
With the tool in someone's body, yeah.
That's a problem.
It was actually a Sawzall. It was a reciprocating saw.
So what was the outcome?
Huh?
How did it
charges?
Happen?
He didn't make it.
There you go. See? Yeah. See?
But he's skirting the real issue. First of all, I resent that he said it's a man's world. I disagree with that.
Okay.
I
think that's the perception of it. That's not my perception. That's the general perception of it.
The only thing that's a man's world is when he goes to his bathhouses. But other than that, no.
That's not true.
But the thing he's avoiding saying is that he has a crush on you.
No, I wouldn't call it a crush. I just said that you're a lot easier.
That's insulting.
No, it's not insulting. I just said you're a lot easier on the eyes than the Jeff Van Gundy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't know.
Especially when you put the glasses on.
Is that a big compliment?
You're not setting the bar very high. And I appreciate the compliment because generally speaking, in cyberspace, I get killed for not looking like Aaron Andrews. Just killed.
Wow. In fact, I'd much rather look at you than Aaron Andrews.
Well, some men will actually come out of the stands at games, particularly college basketball games, where Aaron does a vast majority of her reporting. And she's a friend, and I think she's terrific, and we're cool.
Yeah.
But they'll come out of the stands and say, where's Aaron tonight? I go, I don't know. She's probably at a Big Ten game.
The world sucks, doesn't it?
Oh, just brutal.
You were
brutal.
Talking about that today.
Do you hate the internet?
You know what? I'll tell you the truth, and I'm not joking here. I knew the furor that was created, but I didn't read any of it. I came down the next morning. I was meeting Mark Jackson to go to church with him. And one of our tech guys...
She had to throw in the church.
Okay, well, that's where they were going.
I stopped me. And I just said, hey, what are you doing up so early? You know, you had to leave here about 2 a.m. He said, I'm too old. I can't sleep. And he said, by the way, Doris, I hate the internet. And I go, are you speaking about last night? And he goes, yeah. He goes, it makes you want to shut the door and close the blinds. I go, stop right there. I go, I have not looked. I will not look.
That's good.
I don't want to know. And that's the truth. Because you know what? Here's how I look at it. The good and the bad... To me, matters not. You know, wanna know how I know the job I'm doing? The assignments my bosses give me.
There you go.
That's all I need
Western
to know.
Conference finals, that's
yeah.
pretty good.
And I know I don't look like Aaron Andrews, so I'm not looking. I don't want to get crushed.
Well, George actually has new pictures of himself on the internet that someone
published. No, I don't.
Okay, that I will also not take a look at.
And he wasn't wearing his bra.
I don't wear a bra.
No disrespect.
I just wanted to meet you and tell you I enjoy your work.
Thank you very much.
And ask you what you're doing after the game. You got any plans?
Believe it or not, me and the guys are driving straight.
Oh,
to Dallas,
really?
Yes.
That's
a few
hours. That's a coincidence. We're from Dallas.
Yeah. Gross. And the car that'll be following closely behind you will be George's. So just wave to him.
No, it won't be.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna call George when I'm feeling down and out, and
I'll
I need a little. Yeah, you're gonna make me feel better.
Make you feel better.
Yes.
Yeah. The whisper talking that you're getting on the other end of the phone that's saying creepy things, that'll really pull you.
No. I'll be honest with you. I'm more concerned about you.
Yes, he is the one.
He's trying to stir up the trouble here.
But he shoved an instrument in somebody.
I'm scared of him.
He's a little scary, isn't he?
Well, thank you, Doris. Appreciate you talking with us.
Pleasure,
thank
guys.
You. Have a good game tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really was nice to meet
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. That's George. I'm Gordon, and that's George, of course.
That's Craig.
That's Craig. He does a show with us, too.
Craig was lurking.
No, that's Craig right there.
Yeah, we did. We sound like a bunch of elementary school kids.
She was very nice. Especially about the whole thing about the producer. I mean, that guy did leave her out to dry.
I love the moment, though, where George says, I don't have a crush on you. I just think you're better looking than Jeff Van Gundy.
What are you doing, George?
A double insult.
Oh,
and then she goes, wow, thanks for putting the bar so high.
Hey, I think maybe P1 should start tweeting George's slamming pickup lines to Doris Burke. Your backhanded compliments.
No, she's a very nice woman. We need to leave her alone.
What did you think about getting up close, though?
I just loved how she turned on you. That was my favorite part about the whole thing.
Giorgio, after we were walking away from her, he goes, man, she really falls apart when you get up close to her.
I did not say that. Did not say that.
Also, I did not notice a wedding ring. George has been claiming she's married.
Yeah, what happened to that claim?
There was no wedding ring. It was some sort of ornamental costume jewelry she had on.
Well, maybe that was just for
she's getting it resized.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while she's getting her wedding ring resized, apparently she's wearing a commitment ring.
Here in 15 minutes. But first, we separate the professionals from the taxpayers.
That question, that quote from Jason Kidd, has always thrown us into a deep spiral of insanity. Was it with us he did that interview?
It was just after a game, and we heard it in the ticker, and we said, what did he just
say? That's right.
It was Dave Lane who was interviewing him at the time, I believe.
And... and Jason gave us this. God, how many years ago was that?
Just
10
first,
years?
Yeah, first go around with the Mavs, right?
So 10 years ago, he had this.
That's 97 is when it says it was recorded.
Wow.
My goodness, he had this classic line.
This will separate the professionals from the taxpayers.
And none of us could figure out what the hell that meant. How could a game separate professionals from taxpayers? And what does that mean?
And for weeks, I mean, every day we'd take one stab at it about what it could mean, an interpretation of what that could possibly mean. And the most logical thing we came up with, he screwed up. He meant to say it'll separate the professionals from the amateurs.
But we had a lot of P1s who emailed and gave us some sort of torturous explanation for how, no, that's right. He's got it right. That's the old saying, professionals and taxpayers. Well, of course, we're still obsessed with it. So I thought, since I have no sports questions to ask anyone, that's always going to be my leadoff question. I approached Deshaun Stevenson after the game.
Deshaun, do you think this is the game that separates the professionals from the taxpayers here?
You can say that. You know, we just had players that stuck with it and just kept going, and you know, that says a lot about our veteran team.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're pretty happy that you won.
Oh, gotta be. Gotta be.
Wasn't that a great interview?
Follow-up question. He agreed with you.
Yeah, he did.
This was the type of game that separates the professionals from the taxpayers.
And then I think I asked him, boy, that guy is so tatted up. His whole body is one big tattoo. And then he's got piercings in the middle of his chest.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Did you give him a chest bump when you saw him in the locker room?
No, it would have impaled me. But I did see a couple other media members do that.
Yeah.
But how can we blame them for doing it when I chest-bumped Dirk before the game and he chest-bumped Cuban?
Yeah. Well, but those two guys pulled you in, right?
Yes. Yes. All right, so then Giorgio and I went over to the Jet. You know who he is, Jason Terry? Mm-hmm. And we started asking him questions, too. This is an exclusive that you'll only hear on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Jet, was this the game that separated the professionals from the taxpayers?
It's just... What can I say, man? I mean, just for us.
All right, can you stop that?
The final moment.
All right, he knows that doesn't make any sense, but he's trying to be nice and answer the question. But that pause indicates he's thinking that made no sense.
You can hear the hypno wheels of insanity spinning in his own mind.
He didn't know how to answer it.
Hearing that.
What can I say, man? I mean, just for us. It's a defining moment in our season. And to ride this momentum, to ride this wave, I'm just blessed and happy to be a part of it. But there has to be something special when you come with a performance like that.
Ooh, was this like a Lazarus-type episode?
Well, you know me, I'm a firm believer. I'm a very spiritual guy, and just know that there's a higher power working when you overcome a deficit like that.
Hey,
a couple weeks ago, we talked to you about your headband. You said you really didn't think too much about it when you went on. I can predict when you're going to have a good game, and I said you were going to go off tonight because it looked really good in the first quarter. It was very straight, tucked over the ear properly, and I knew you were going to have a good...
Meanwhile, he's rolling his eyes during this.
No,
he's so tired of talking about that GD headband.
He was laughing and gave me thumbs up.
But what you didn't know, Giorgio, is I had already asked him about it before the game and beaten him down about it. So he's like, oh, get off of the headband business, please.
Well, I appreciate it, but if you would have seen it by halftime, you would have seen a frustrated headband. It probably was lopsided sideways. The logo was in the back. But, no, we just stuck with it, man. A tremendous performance.
Bring it right on back now.
You would have seen a frustrated headband.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, we need to save that.
Here's more.
You guys think you still had a chance with 5 minutes left when it's a 15-point game?
No question. If I told you anything other than that, I'd be lying. But I looked in everyone's eyes. I looked at my teammates, my coaches, and they still had confidence. It was like they were still working. You know, a lot of times, not with this team, but if you see other teams around the league, you see guys not paying attention in the huddle.
No.
Coaches really like, whatever, let's just get home. We know we got another game. Not for this team. Not this year. Not in this postseason.
When you look over and you see that you have Rick Carlisle as a coach and he looks like Jim Carrey, does that inspire confidence?
Well, you know what? When times are tough, you look at him and laugh. But he's been phenomenal. The pressure that he's been under, you know, with this team, anybody in that position for the Dallas Mavericks has a lot of pressure on him, and he's responded well.
God bless.
Thank you.
He is the best BSer I've ever met.
He is.
He's so good at taking what you've said, twisting a little bit, making it sound like he's addressing, you know, it's like the Lazarus thing. Well, you know, I'm a believer, and what we got to do is believe in ourselves. Just making everything into just generic little sentiment or platitude.
Did you have the awkward exchange when we did try to talk to the originator of that comment?
Yeah, okay. So Giorgio and I, we staked out Jason Kidd, and I want to tell you about that right now. Sorry about that. I'm getting it ready.
And by the way, as soon as he goes into the locker room, he is... he has ice pads on his knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put him in a body cast. He's so old.
They put his feet in an ice bucket, and you just wonder what he goes through on a daily routine to try to get ready to play a playoff game.
So he's sitting by himself over in the corner talking to one of the Mavs staffers, and he's just sitting there talking. Giorgio and I wait patiently, waiting for a little break in the conversation.
They're in a very animated conversation. So,
and we figure, you know, we just had the guy on. He's going to be friendly to us. It's going to be nice. So Giorgio tries to get an interview with him, and Jason, I think, kind of denies us. It was very confusing.
What he was saying.
Because he's such a mumble talker. And so we're unclear whether he's told us that he doesn't want to be interviewed or not. I don't know how much of this we can hear on this, but I know I was rolling tape at the time, so take a listen. On the ticket.
Okay.
Hold on.
Real quick, Jason. Okay.
Can you hear that in the background? You hear George saying, "Can we talk to you for a second, Jason?" And then you hear Jason go, it's like a chant.
Real quick, Jason. Okay.
We had no idea what he was saying.
We could not understand. And we're 2 feet from him, and we can't understand what he's saying.
But he was shaking his head, so I took it as a no.
Yeah, so it's like you're communicating with just a person from a different planet.
almost auctioneer-like. It was an auctioneer no from Jason Kidd.
And George says, okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kidd.
He may have been giving you the interview right then, and you didn't realize it.
Well, there we did it. We separated the professionals from the taxpayers. It's 8:52 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.